grand fanfare welcome to our podcast, Keeping Up with the Windsors, dedicated to the royal family.
Each episode will be crammed to the rafters with opinions, news and commentary on the comings and goings of the family of Windsor.
With your hosts and royal fangirls, Rachel Andrews and Michelle Thole.
So grab yourself a cuppa,
straighten up your tiara,
shine your knighthood,
round up your corgis,
and let's keep up with the Windsors. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Keeping Up the Windsors. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Michelle.
So we have some exciting news to share, don't we, Michelle?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't believe it.
We are visiting Kensington Palace this weekend.
We are, and we are so excited. We'll be seeing the Diana Memorial statue in person. We'll be going around the state apartments within Kensington Palace. We're also hopefully going to be visiting the Latana elephants if we can get there. Our day is so jam-packed, isn't it, Rach?
Yeah, so the reason we've picked now to go to Kensington is because we're recording this on Thursday and that's the day when the Diana statue gets unveiled. So we wanted to tie it all in together. We really wanted to go to visit the Royal Style exhibition that they're holding at Kensington Palace at the moment. And obviously it just made sense for us to do it all in one go. But yeah, it's going to be a busy day, but we're very excited.
We're also going to the Wallace Collection on that day. So Rachel has a massive love affair with Marie Antoinette and they've got some items in there as well. So we are literally jam-packing this whole day. I feel like I should be wearing trainers because we're going to be walking so much and doing loads of different things.
We definitely need to count our steps on that day, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. But what is going to be happening is if you follow us on at Keeping Up With The Windsors Pod on Instagram, we will be doing some lives, we'll be doing some Instagram stories, we'll be doing some posts, keeping you up to date, and that will be throughout the whole of the week. But we're just super excited. We're super excited to actually now, we did go to Windsor back in October, but that was still within the midst of all COVID regulations. And although we probably will still need to be wearing masks, it just feels like it's a different feeling to it. Do you agree with that, Rachel?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, when we're inside, we'll definitely have to wear masks, but we don't have to wear masks outside. I'm just super excited. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. We've been talking about this for a while, haven't we?
We have. We've been talking about it for a long time. Well, we've had a fun week with the royals. There's the unveiling of the Diana statue. That's coming up today. We've also got the royal visit in Scotland. We have lots of royals in Scotland this week. And also we had Prince George at the football. So we've got so much to keep up with, with the Windsors. Have you been enjoying this week of royals?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, again, another busy week. But I'm really like excited about this week's episode because like you said, so much to talk about.
So yeah, so let's get on with the Royal Roundup.
So first off, we have Royal Week in Scotland.
Yeah.
Now I saw something on Twitter actually. Where a lot of people were saying, what's Royal Week? Because it's never been known as that. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. But I know they go to Scotland every week in the year and in an official capacity, not just like going on holiday to Balmoral.
Yeah. So apparently Royal Week is where the Queen spends a week in Scotland travelling to celebrate Scottish culture, achievements and communities. So we've seen her over the past few days. On the first day, she was with Prince William, Earl of Strathern, as he's known in Scotland, and they toured the Iron Brew factory. And I've got to admit, not a big fan of Iron Brew.
Oh, I love it. I could drink that all day. And when I was little, they did Iron Brew like chew bars. Oh, I used to love them so much. Make your tongue go all weird, but I love them.
So William tried a sample of Iron Brew and he actually said he liked having this after a night out when he was in the army.
I love it.
Down in the old Iron Brew.
Yeah. It's a very required taste and I don't think I've tasted anything like Iron Brew anywhere else.
Yeah, definitely. And we then saw the Queen meet Nicola Sturgeon, who is the leader of the Scottish National Party at Holyrood House, which is where the Queen resides when she's in her official capacity in Scotland.
Yeah. And do you know what? I'm starting to have a bit of a love affair with Holyrood House. I really need to visit it. I think it's beautiful. We saw it when Catherine met Mila. We saw it, the outside of it. And I when I went to Edinburgh before, I kind of disregarded it, thinking, oh, it's just one of those stately homes, la, la, la. But actually, I really, really want to go now.
Yeah, definitely. It's very, I think it looks very different to the other palaces that we have seen. Mm. The Queen was then joined a few days later by Princess Anne, and they visited one of the last royal spaces in Glasgow, the Children's Wood, which is an important space for people so that where they can walk their dogs, they can garden, and they can enjoy being in nature.
Didn't the Queen receive like a pot of honey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really nice.
And then there were some kids, they were toasting marshmallows.
That's right, yeah.
And some boy was like, would you like one?
Did she go, no, the Queen doesn't eat anything in front of her.
She was like, I think she said something like, oh, that's okay, thank you. This, oh, like, it's all on video.
That's so nice.
They also visited the Edinburgh Climate Change Institute. And on the same day, they visited the University of Edinburgh, where the Princess Royal is Chancellor. And she has been since 2011, which she took over from her father, who had held the position since 1953. And on that day, they unveiled a plaque.
That's very royal.
Very royal. You know, when we say like a tree believe when someone plants a tree, anytime they unveil a plaque, I feel like we need to say something.
Plaque attack. It reminds me of when you were a kid and they were like, don't brush your teeth, you'll get plaque attack. We'll come up with a better name, I'm sure. Yeah.
So that's been the Queen's Week in Scotland.
Wow, what an absolutely brilliant week. And I also read that when she goes to Scotland in this week, they actually give her the keys to Scotland.
Yeah, I read that.
It's like a proper ceremony.
Yeah, because she was there with Prince William, wasn't she?
Yeah.
On the same day. We were left with a cliffhanger at the end of last week's episode with William's social media post where he was flying a drone. And this week we learned why. And it was to unveil the Earthshot Prize Awards ceremony in none other than Alexandra Palace, known as...
Yay, I was so excited!
Yay, known as Ali Pally, and which is going to be held on October the 17th this year. So we'll keep you up to date when we hear more about that. But that's really interesting news, isn't it?
Yeah. And the other reason I get so excited about Ali Pally is because I used to live 10 minutes away from there and I used to just go for walks all the time around Alexandra Palace.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful place.
Yeah. And I remember I'd never been before and I visited Michelle when she used to live in London and she took me there and you were like, oh, it's such a great view over London. Mm. Like, cause you get like a really wide shot. And it's a great place and people hold like concerts there and festivals. So yeah, it was really nice to see that area of London as well.
Got really excited. Yay! Okay. The Queen started the week with a Zoom call to the military lawyers of the Canadian Armed Forces, in which she gifted them a royal banner to celebrate more than a century of service to the Crown. The Queen is the Colonel-in-Chief of many regiments in Canada. One of my favourite things, this was a video call, and you can see it on YouTube. I think there's some bits on Twitter on the royal socials, but the bit I loved the most is when Major Angela Orme spoke to the Queen, and she's in Bahrain at the moment. She spoke to her about being away from her two young sons and how she tells them she's fighting pirates. And what she's actually doing is stopping trafficking of illicit narcotics. And you know, the word narcotics always makes me feel like I'm in an American TV drama, because we just call it drugs here, don't we? Drugs.
All the drugs.
So she's over there. And honestly, I'm not kidding. Brought a tear to my eye. The fact that she is on duty and putting her country ahead of being there for her two sons, who obviously, I think she said her youngest was two. And, you know, we know the Queen has done that. She had to leave Anne and Charles at quite a young age when she went on tour. So it's I think she really connected to that, and it was lovely to see as a video.
Yeah, and also this week was Armed Forces Day, and the Queen extended her thanks and recognition to all those who serve or who have served and their families for their dedication, as well as Princess Anne and her husband, Vice Admiral Tim Lawrence, and they attended the National Memorial Arboretum to celebrate Armed Forces Day and personally thank the military families for their service as well. So we would like to extend our thanks to everyone that's in the military or who has been in the military and all that you do for us all around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Every single person. I've got quite a few people who are in the line of duty, who have been in the line of duty, and it is a massive sacrifice. And we thank you very much for that. Thank you. So moving on, we've had more information on the Platinum Jubilee celebrations, right? Did you know about this? In 2022.
Yay, so excited.
So, yeah, so we heard from the pageant co-chairman, Nicholas Coleridge, who unveiled new concept artwork showing a trapeze artist suspended on a giant helium balloon and all circus acts around. And that was like loads of things going on in that picture. His co-chair, Sir Michael Lockett, said, "We're not just telling the story of an incredible life. It is the story of the second Elizabethan age, a time of rapid change and unparalleled progress. The procession, which is in three acts, will travel through the streets of Westminster and along the Mall past Buckingham Palace. The first act is a military affair with marching bands and people from the Commonwealth joining in. The second act will take on a carnival vibe." Oh, I'm all there for the carnival. A parade.
Party.
Woohoo! A parade that will feature music, dance, and puppets. And it tells the story of the Queen's reign and how society has transformed throughout the decades. And this will be brought to life by an original story written by Sir Michael Morpeko called "There Once Is a Queen." And the third act and the final one, the finale of the pageant, all that will be revealed next year. So we've got Act 1, which I think is day 1, and then Act 2, which is day 2, and then Act 3, which we don't know much about.
Which is just making me think we need to be there for all the days.
All days! We can't miss one of them. We need to be there for all of them.
I mean, it just sounds too amazing. I just want to be there for everything.
Honestly, I'm not kidding. It just sounds incredible. The fact that they were like adding, it's like Mardi Gras, and it's like the like a carnival in Brazil, and all this together. I'm like, I want to be there. I want to be there. Okay, so they are... they've got a budget for the pageant, which is 10 million to 15 million, but they're having no public funds being used at all. The money is being raised privately through corporate and individual partners and sponsors. I mean, 2022, can you hurry up, please?
Yes. Let's get on with the show.
Yeah.
William announced that the Queen has appointed Catherine as the official royal sponsor of HMS Glasgow, which is being built at the moment and will be finished at the end of 2021. So she will be there for its milestone events and deployments of the vessel over the next coming years. And these types of engagements are really very much part of royal duty, much like we saw the Queen at the deployment of the aircraft carrier HMS Elizabeth in Portsmouth, which we covered in episode 12. So if you want to listen to that, then head on over to episode 12.
Yeah. So, you know, it'll be quite interesting to follow these engagements with Catherine and the HMS Glasgow.
Yeah, because I remember when William and Catherine first got married, one of her first official engagements, and I think it was one of her first solo engagements, was she was visiting a ship and she opened it, you know, when they crack the champagne bottle against the ship.
Yeah.
I always remember that. It would just be nice to see her over the next few years, won't it?
Definitely. Harry's had a few engagements this week. So firstly, we saw a pre-recorded video for the Diana Awards. And secondly, was an appearance at the Wellchild Awards in Kew Gardens, which he is patron of. So he's keeping this as a private patronage. And whilst he was there, he met Ed Sheeran. And Ed asked Harry, what was it like now with two children? And Harry said, "Two is definitely a juggle. We've been lucky so far. She's very chilled and seems happy to just sit there whilst Archie is running around like crazy." So we had a little insight into Lily and Archie with this engagement.
The Earl and Countess of Wessex and Fofar, which are their Scottish titles, were out and about during the Royal Week in Scotland. And we saw them at a number of interesting engagements. They were in Edinburgh and strolled around the Royal Mile. And they visited the Clamshell Pizza and Kebab Shop.
Yeah.
As well as heading to St. James's Quarter, which is a retail and leisure centre district in the East End. They also visited a social supermarket in Angus. And finally, in Fofar, where they visited Fofar Golf Club and had a few golfing lessons to perfect their swing. And we saw a picture of Sophie and some videos of Sophie. I'm not a keen golfer, are you?
I've never ever played golf. I think I'd be rubbish at it.
A bit of crazy golf. But a bit crazy.
I love
golf.
A bit of crazy golf.
Don't
actually.
Mind a bit of crazy.
Yeah.
We also saw Princess Eugenie, and she visited the Latana Elephant Parade in Green Park this week with baby August.
Yeah.
And she has been a patron of the elephant family since 2016.
Yeah. It was lovely to see them. And again, maybe we'll see some elephants this weekend, Rachel. Who Yay. Knows? Who knows? I don't know whether we'll be very close to the elephants, but we'll try our best. Last week's episode, I said I hadn't listened to Megan's NPR interview. She was talking about the bench on. And I said, give me some time because I've been really busy. I'll tell you what I think next week. So this is it. I actually did listen to it. Yay, finally. And she was talking about her meaning behind her New York bestseller book, The Bench. She was joined also by Christian Robinson, who's the illustrator. She said that she bought Harry a bench for Father's Day. And I thought, this is something the rich people do, isn't it? They got everything in the world, so they have to buy, like, obscure presents for each other. I remember watching a program about rich people. It was called something like How to Be a Billionaire or something, like those Channel 5 programs. And one of them was a guy in Savile Row. His wife had bought him a suit, but instead of the stitching had his name in great, like, in it. And I was like, well, what's the point in that? I can't even see it. But to him, it was like a sentimental thing. So Megan said that she'd inscribed the back of the bench with a part of the poem. This poem is what she used to create the bench, the book. So I want to say a thoughtful gift. I mean, it is thoughtful, but it's like, I gifted you a bench. Like, oh, great. Thanks. But actually, it has a lot of meaning behind it. And also, finally, to finish off the roundup for this week, we did have some discrepancies online about Lilibet's birth certificate. Did you see this, Rach?
Yeah, I read something about this, actually. Was it to do with the name, Megan's name?
That's right. So the discrepancy was in why Harry used his title on the birth certificate, and also why Meghan used her maiden name on the certificate. Now, I've got some lovely friends in the state of California, and they assured me that this is actually very normal practice, and this is the way they have added their names in accordance to, like, state protocols. So I kind of want to just say that now, because I did call up my friends and I said, I've heard this thing going around, like, what's going on? And they said, it actually makes sense. So although it doesn't make sense to us here in the UK, because that's not how we write our names on birth certificates, apparently it is the way they do it there. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to say that, because you can have lots and lots of hearsay, you can have lots of rumors and stuff, but we're all about kind of just saying it as it is, aren't we, Rachel?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's it for the Royal Roundup. Let's move on to the Royal News, which Rachel's really excited about. Woo, let's do this.
We had an announcement that Kate and William were going to be attending the football match, England versus Germany, because William is the president of the FA. And we got this news the day of, but then when we turned on the TVs, there was another little guest.
Yeah.
It was Prince George.
We were very shocked, actually. We didn't see this coming, didn't know he was going to be there. For everyone out there who doesn't know what the FA is, it's the Football Association, as we've said a million times. Rachel and I, not sporty, don't really like football at all, but when there's anything to do with the Royals, we will love it. This is amazing. It was a brilliant engagement. It was fantastic because also England won, so everyone was super happy. Yeah. And maybe George was like a really good lucky charm to have, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they was in the they was in the VIP box, wasn't they? Where George rubbed shoulders with David Beckham and Ed Sheeran. Don't actually know if he knew who they were.
I mean, David Beckham went to William and Catherine's wedding. So they're longstanding friends way, way back. They've known each other for years.
But what was interesting was obviously when the national anthem was playing, everyone obviously stood up to sing. Catherine and William standing there, you know, arms straight down. George was just looking around. I think he was probably a bit shell-shocked because he's probably not in situations like that very often, is he?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things actually that I thought about. The first is after coming out of COVID and then going into an arena full of people, that's stressful in itself. But also I thought about William and Catherine, and this is like their first time. Yes, okay, we all know what George looks like. We've all seen him. We've seen babes in arms since he came out of the hospital. We've seen pictures of him as he's growing up. I really feel like this was his very first foray into royal life.
This
is like his first official showing of a future monarch. And I think it was a really big deal. And what I loved about it was something that he's passionate about. So it didn't feel like a job or a duty. And I don't think it was probably meant that way. It was just like, oh, do you know what? My dad's the FA, the president of the FA. Why not use my contacts? Yeah. I know he didn't say that, but you know what I mean. But I think it must have been nerve-wracking on so many levels for William and Catherine to put their son out there. You know, he's so young. I think it's a very courageous step for them. At the end of the day, he's out there in front of thousands of people who all got an opinion about the royal family, whether they love them or hate them. There's trolls out there. There's people who are just the nastiest, vile people. And, you know, it's very exposing.
Yeah, I agree. What was interesting was the photos that we were shown were, you know, William obviously showing George, like, obviously, oh, yeah, look at that bit, or, you know. And when England did score, there was a photo of George and he had this really big smile on his face. It was, oh, it's just so happy. It's so lovely.
But this isn't the first football match we've seen him, because he does support Aston Villa with his dad. And we have seen him at another event, but he was very young then. This felt in a very different occasion for me. I don't know. It felt very different, especially because we've got George. He's in this lovely suit, isn't he? Look, he was a mirror image of his father. It was mini me.
Yeah. There was a bit of controversy, wasn't there, about him wearing a suit, because a lot of people were saying, oh, well, he's a kid, like he should be wearing like an England shirt. But he was there, like his dad was there in an official capacity. If he was there as just a supporter, then he probably would have worn an English shirt. But he was in the VIP box. Everybody, apart from Ed Sheeran, was wearing a suit. All the men were wearing suits. So it just seemed natural for George to wear a suit. And it didn't obviously hinder his experience of the game, did it?
Absolutely not. I also think there is something called aristocratic etiquette. And that means that we see all of the royal family, all the boys, when they're growing up, they're in shorts. Then there's this moment in their life where they change and they kind of like grow up. And it's usually around the age of between 6, 7 and 8. And at that moment, they're like, right, trousers, suit, tie. And it just becomes part of it. Another thing to note is in the United Kingdom, especially the private schools here, they do wear suits to school. They wear blazers and ties and caps. And it's not a strange thing here to be dressed that smartly, you know? So I don't know. Like, for me, I just didn't think anything of it. I thought, oh, he looks so cute. Like, that's just amazing. It's lovely to see him. He looks so smart. He looks like, you know, like a mini me of his dad. You got Kate in this beautiful red blazer, Zara special. And I just, you know, the only thing I thought was how exposing it is to be George.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to be that young and just to be being prepped really for a life of service and duty. Yeah. So that's what we think about George in his suit. But what do you think? And I know, Rach, you popped on to our Instagram this week at Keeping Up With The Windsors Pod. And you asked our lovely followers what they thought about lovely George and his suit. So what did they say?
Yeah. So we had some responses from you. So thank you so much. So Royal Family fan supporter said he looked completely adorable and seemed to have enjoyed himself. I don't understand why people are going crazy because he wore a suit. I'm sure William and Catherine didn't force him to do something he didn't want to do.
Mary John said it would have been comfy and unrestrained if an English shirt was worn, but I guess the suit was a dress code, so obviously it had to be worn because it was the dress code. Like we said, he wasn't the VIP box. He wasn't just a normal supporter sat down in the crowd.
Yeah. Omni Salma, hopefully I've pronounced that correctly, said since he was in the VIP box, it was correct on his part to dress in formal wear.
Yeah. royaltydiaries.eu said, I loved it. Definitely prepping him for bigger engagements. And I agree.
Grateful Chicken Mama said, love it. He's enjoying himself. Teach following dress code while young.
Danielle B. 1985 said, he's so cute. He looked cute dressed like daddy in the VIP box. He was very brave. Must have been overwhelming for a young lad after the past 15 months.
Royal Jet Set said, cutest thing. I loved the outfit. Fangirl in Cambridge's. Of course, he looked very handsome in a suit. He's not baby George anymore. He's giving us king vibes. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And we've got Edison 08. I feel that he would have enjoyed it the same suit or no suit. And he looked so smart in it. Yeah, exactly. He's a child. He doesn't really care what he's wearing. He just wants to watch England win against Germany.
Yeah. And he just looked like a little gentleman.
Sorry, Germany.
little gentleman, a little dapper.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are actually saying that he was England's good luck charm.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
They scored twice.
Yeah.
And I think one of the front pages the next day was something like, by George, they've done it. And it was like a picture of George in the stands.
So, yeah, that was George in a suit. I mean, come on, he's what? How old is he now? 8 in a couple of weeks. He's already... front page headlines.
You know, when you're younger and you're like, I want to be a policeman. Well, George, no, you can't, because you're going to be a king. Like, at what point are they told, like, no, whatever you want to do, you can't do it, yeah, because you're going to be a king?
I think kids are so astute. They're so aware without having the knowledge of it, if that makes sense. I mean, when you take the Cambridges last week, you've got Charlotte, you've got George, you've got Prince William, opening the half marathon at Sandringham Estate. You've got to know that not everyone's doing that and everyone's looking at you. So there's got to be a reason why everyone's looking at you. So I think it starts very young. And I'm sure there's ways and etiquette in doing that, which obviously we're not privy to because we're not part of the blue blood. So we don't really know. All of the teaching, all of their schools, all of their prepping is always to do with being a leader and to be in that role of service and duty. So I think it starts from the smallest age, but then that's my speculation because we don't really know. Today marks the unveiling of the Diana tribute statue by William and Harry on what would have been Diana's 60th birthday. The statue's permanent home will be the sunken gardens of Kensington Palace, one of Diana's favourite places. The statue is designed by Ian Rank Broadley, who has been a professional sculptor since the 1970s. He's known for his love of nudity, and also he's been commissioned for the UK Supreme Court museums and memorials worldwide. Luckily for us, there wasn't any nudity in this one. The sunken garden has been completely redesigned to fit in with the tribute statue of Diana. And the project was commissioned by William and Harry back in 2017. And the garden designer, Pip Morrison, said that we have worked carefully to ensure that the new layout and planting schemes complement the statue, providing a calming place for people who visit Kensington Palace to remember the princess. It's also been adorned with 4,000 flowers, including Diana's favourite flower, forget-me-nots, as well as dahlias, ballerina roses and sweet peas. And also the lawn's been extended to create a calmer and reflective place. You'll probably know the sunken garden because it was the setting for Meghan and Harry's announcement of their engagement to the world. And also this week it was said that William paid a private visit with Catherine and the children to the statue before the official unveiling. And today, which obviously we're recording this on Thursday, the statue's been unveiled, Rach. And it was about an hour ago that we got all the details through.
Yeah, we've been waiting all day for this, haven't we? We were like, just unveil it already. We need to record the podcast.
Rachel called me and I was exercising. I was like, I need to get my exercise in now because I've been holding off the whole day. Okay, let's take a step back a second and let's talk about, what did you think the statue was going to be? Because we did have this conversation beforehand and we said we should have had this in last week's episode. But what did you think? What were some of the things that came to mind for you?
So I thought maybe it would be Diana with that famous picture where she's wearing the Cambridge knot tiara, the pearl tiara with the pearl dress and bolero, maybe like in a standing position. And then it was kind of like, well, maybe it's going to be a statue of a picture of her with William and Harry when they were younger. I didn't think it was going to be white marble. I think we both said that we thought it was going to be that sort of industrial look type of look. Because I think that kind of stands the test of time more as well.
I agree.
That,
yeah.
That piece of material. But yeah, that was what I was originally thinking. What was you thinking?
I went through a load of mental processes first and thought, okay, if I was William and Harry, how would I want my mother to be seen in the world? So my first thought was, oh, maybe they wanted us to see her as the princess. And so, yeah, you're right. You know, that high collar pearl dress came to mind. Like, where your mind was going, Rach, is exactly where I was going. And I thought, oh, actually, maybe they're, because I know the sculptor is a poignant sculptor. He likes to tell a story with his pieces of art. I thought, okay, maybe they've chosen the famous landmine outfit with the visor on. And then you actually said, didn't you, Rach? Maybe they've chosen to have Diana when she was talking to that little girl who had her legs blown off from a landmine. And we were kind of talking through all these different images and ideas of what they could have chosen. But I don't know, there was something in me that was like, they're gonna go for a powerful image and something that speaks of humanity, but I didn't know about whether they would choose random children around her, and then it got unveiled and I was like, oh, they went with the random children thing. Okay,
so if we take a step back a moment, we were discussing this before, so we had heard that the statue was going to be unveiled at 2 p.m. UK time. And then it was like, well, it's 2:15, so it's obviously not happened. And then
we're refreshing Twitter every 5 seconds.
And then we found a Royal Report on Twitter and he said, oh, it's already happened. And we were like, all right, okay, so they're obviously getting the photos and the videos together. And then we was like, well, it's 1:30 now. It's obviously going to be 3:00. But you had an interesting point of why it probably wasn't in the public domain, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw on Twitter that a lot of people have reported people were booing Harry. And I'm not quite sure. There's been quite a lot of talk around this. First of all, why was it at 2 p.m. and not in the morning? Well, actually, you made the point, Rach, that the US press wouldn't be up. They wouldn't be awake. So maybe they're waiting till 9:00 for the morning press, which I think is a really good observation. The second thing is that Harry was very reluctant to be in front of the UK media, and therefore we didn't get the big, we were getting everything secondhand, if that makes sense, not as it was happening, which is quite unusual, I think. Thirdly, there was talk about people who were at Kensington Palace saying that they may possibly have been booze. So something to note is that I guess Harry isn't as loved in the UK as he is in the rest of the world at the moment. There's a lot of people who see him as, I don't know, some kind of anti-monarch now.
Traitor.
Yeah, which is quite strange. It's his family, isn't it? It's his mother's anniversary of her birthday. And, you know, he's got every right to be there. And I think it would have been really sad if he did get booed. So I think what they did was, instead of giving anybody the opportunity, they just said, no, we're having this as a private event and we'll give out the information when we're ready to give it out. And that's it. I think, to be honest, it was supposed to be a big, you know, hoopla, but we were actually quite surprised, Rach, because we were looking out for it the whole time.
I mean, there's been crowds outside Kensington Palace all day, hasn't there? And whenever it is Diana's birthday or the anniversary of her death, then the really keen royalists are always outside and they always, you know, leave flowers or posters and, you know, sign things outside. So I think, yeah, it was maybe the right decision not to have crowds, because like you said, it would have ruined the whole environment if there would have been people booing Harry, because at the end of the day, it's his mum and he's come to honour and respect her. And you know, show his love and appreciation for her, as he should do. That's his mother at the end of the day.
And also, it's disrespectful as well, isn't it, to her memory, for people to boo him.
Yeah.
It's gone nothing. This is about Diana, and I think he didn't want it to be about whatever they may be feeling, or to actually ruin that moment for him and his brother at that time, or ruin the memory of his mum. Okay, so we saw the unveiling. Rachel was like, it's been unveiled. And I was like, I'm going to go on Twitter now. Hang on. and then as soon as I saw, I had really high expectations. I guess I didn't know what I was to think. You said, it's with children. And I was like, okay. So it's Diana with three children. We did have a joint statement from Prince William and Prince Harry today. It read, today on what would have been our mother's 60th birthday, we remember her love, strength and character, qualities that made her a force for good around the world, changing countless lives for the better. Every day we wish she was still here with us, and our hope is that this statue will be seen forever as a symbol of her life and her legacy. So that was a joint statement we had from William and Harry. I wasn't expecting a joint statement, but I loved it. I thought it was very fitting. And yeah, it kind of set the tone, didn't it, for the unveiling?
Yeah, definitely. And I think just going back to the actual, what we thought of the statue itself. So as we said, we thought it was going to be that kind of bronzy, iron-looking material.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be marble. So yeah, we got that. But I think one of the first things, we were both kind of like, oh. And I think I said to you, I was like, what do you think? And I was like, I don't want to like say, but I was like, do you like it? Do you not like it? And I was like, have they made her look old? Like, have they made her look like she would have done on her 60th birthday? Because I don't know, like around the, on her face, around the chin area, I don't know. And around the neck, it looks like maybe they've added wrinkles. Maybe it's, I'm not looking at it, like, but yeah, that's what I thought initially.
And you know what's very difficult is we were only getting a 2D picture, and Rachel and I will be seeing it in the flesh this weekend. So we'll be able to give you a massive update on our real thoughts of it when we see it in person. When I first saw it, I thought, firstly, Diana, she's got very powerful stance. There's a powerfulness to her and also a gentleness, but also it just felt like she means business. And I thought, I don't really like that quality.
Yeah. And I think you said as well, like about the outfit, you were like, why have they chosen that big belt?
it's a very dated outfit. I was thinking this as I was preparing for the podcast, because like I say, we've only had the unveiling an hour ago. The first thought for me was, wouldn't it have been better to have had just a plain outfit that didn't look dated? Because it looks very of a time.
It looks very 90s, doesn't it?
It looks very 90s. And maybe that's what they were going for. Like they had a picture and they were like, this, you know, feels like this is what we want to represent, you know, what we want our mum to be represented as. And she was wearing that outfit in that, you know, who knows? Mm. I think the main thing there was her humanitarianness came through. But I'm on the fence, Rach. I don't know if I like it or not. There's so many things I love about it and so many things I'm not a fan of.
Yeah.
I need it to like soak in. And when I see it in person, I think that is when, for me, I'll be like, nope, I really, really don't like it. Or I really, really love it. Or I might still feel on the fence. I guess I'm just a little bit in shock because it's not what I expected.
Yeah, I think I didn't really know what to expect. I thought there might have been children. But yeah, I'm looking at the picture now, to be fair. And yeah, there's just, I like you said, I think I need to see it in the flesh to form like an actual like proper opinion and be like, yes, I like it. Yes, I don't. Or no, I don't. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know.
I have to say, I just felt a little bit underwhelmed.
Yeah. I think it's one of them things as well, though. I think we were discussing this before, is if you've ever been to Kensington, there's a massive Queen Victoria Memorial outside of Kensington Palace. And it's a marble statue, which was actually commissioned by Princess Beatrice, who was one of Queen Victoria's children. And that is, you know, really grand. And obviously she was a queen. But I don't know, like, I think I was expecting something along the lines of that. And I think now we've got this and we've seen this, I'm like you, I'm kind of a bit like, oh, like I'm really not sure. But I think like what you said in last week's episode is that as long as William and Harry like it, that's the main thing. Like, it's their mum, that's how they want her represented.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a bit underwhelmed, but we'll see this weekend, won't we?
Yeah. So let me give you a few more details then that came out from the unveiling. It's a bronze statue and it's 1.25 times life size. It's cast by Castle Fine Arts Foundry in the traditional lost wax process with a patina of a bluish green over black. I mean, I'm sure this means loads to some people, but I'm like, okay. The cast is hollow and is supported by a stainless steel armature. The statue is on a plinth with the words Diana, Princess of Wales. And in front of the statue of Princess Diana is a paving stone engraved with the words, "These are the units to measure the worth of this woman as a woman, regardless of birth. Now, what was her station? But she has a heart. How did she play her God-given part?" Which is an extract from the poem, "The Measure of a Man," that featured in the Princess's 2007 Memorial Service Program. So everything has a meaning. Everything has a reason to be there. I mean, I'm sure if we heard William and Harry speaking candidly about why they chose this and that, it would make a lot more sense to us. But we didn't get that today. We just got pictures and a faraway video of them coming out of Kensington Palace into the garden.
They were greeted by Diana's sisters and her brother, El Spencer, who, fun fact, I've actually met before.
Oh, tell more, Rachel. Yeah.
So I met him years ago at Althorpe, which is the house where Diana grew up. It's a massive country house, kind of like what you see in period dramas. And yeah, we was just about to leave and we was in in one of the shops and this woman said, "Oh, if you go around that way, the Earl's actually around there and he writes books about the grounds and the house itself and the history of the house and the history of his family." And yeah, we met him and he signed our book and everything. We had me, my mum and my nan had a little conversation with him.
Oh, that's so nice. I've never heard that story before. I love it.
Yeah, he was really nice, actually. He was really nice. He wasn't, sometimes I think I feel like these people are a bit, I don't know, stuck up. He was really nice. But at the end of the day, we was buying his book, weren't we? So, so that's my claim to royalty, although not technically royal, but there you go.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so I've got a few questions then about the statue. Do you think people will like it more than the fountain?
Yes, I think they will. But it's funny because I've already put a question on Instagram saying, "What do you think of the statue?" And there's so many mixed messages. It's either, "Oh my God, I love it. I knew it was going to be Diana with kids. It really suits her." Some people are like, "No, don't like it. Don't like the material." So yeah, I think it's a mixed bag, really. But I think it will be...
I like the bronze. I actually like the bronze. And I think when you have acid rain in London, it's constantly raining here, it has to be robust, it has to stand the test of time, something you said earlier, Rach. And I actually think they went well with the material they chose for the statue. I think you're right. I think the fountain was a lovely gesture, but this does speak of Diana's memory, because her sons chose it, they knew her more than anyone. So like I say, if they're happy with it, we're happy with it, but I would have chosen a different belt. No belt, actually. Okay, so a question then is, do you think this is like, we talked about olive branches in last week's episode, but do you think this is the mending of their broken relationship between William and Harry?
I mean, they know at the end of the day, like today of all days, that the cameras are on them. They know, like, the body language experts are going to be looking at them videos, looking at them photos and being like, right, scrutinizing every move they make. They were seen talking and I was like, oh, they're talking. It's going to be in the newspapers that they're talking. I don't think it will really heal what's happened, but maybe it represents a positive step in the right direction. What do you think?
I would say the exact same thing. I think it is a positive step in the right direction. Okay, so we both got very mixed emotions about the statue. I actually thought I was going to just love it, like love it from the outset. Like, yep, that's it, done. But I just don't know. I'm still up in the air about it. But then what does my opinion matter? It doesn't, does it? As long as Harry and William are happy, then brilliant. So we hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Remember, we'll be going to Kensington Palace this weekend, so feel free to come on over and say hi to us on Instagram. If you are listening on iTunes, why not leave us a review? And if you don't have any option to leave a review in any of the other places you're listening, why not come over to Instagram and DM us? Because we'll be always do a little shout out to people who leave us messages. And we'd love to give you a shout out next week. So thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, so join us on Instagram at Keeping Up With The Windsors Pod. And we'll see you next week on
Keeping Up With The Windsors.